From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Gene Engany reading Through the Wheat by Thomas Boyd. Chapter 1. Dusk, like soft blue smoke, fell with the dying spring air and settled upon the northern French village. In the uncertain light, one- and two-story buildings set along the crooked street showed crisply, bearing a resemblance to false teeth in an ash-old face. To young Hicks, disconsolate as he leaned against the outer wall of the French canteen, upon whose smooth white surface his body made an unseemly blot, life was worth very little. For 9 interminable months, William Hicks had been in France, shunted from one place to another, acting out the odious office of the military police, working as a stevedore beside evil-odored blacks, helping to build cantonments and reservoirs for new soldiers ever arriving from the United States. And he was supposed to be a soldier. He had enlisted with at least the tacit understanding that he was some day to fight. At the recruiting office in Cincinnati, the bespangled sergeant had told him, "Join the Marines and see some real action." And the heart of William Hicks had fled to the rich brogue and campaign ribbons that the sergeant professionally wore. But was this action? Was this war? Was this for what William Hicks had come to France? Well, he told himself, it was not. Soldiering with a shovel. A hell of a way to treat a white man. There were plenty of people to dig holes in the ground, but not many of them could qualify as sharpshooters. And Hicks swelled his chest a trifle, noticing the glint of the metal marksmanship badge on his tunic. Resting beside him on the ground was a display of unopened food tins, above which rose the slender necks of bottles. Of the bottles there were 4, prisoning the white wine of northern French vineyards. Excessive in number were the cans, and they looked as if their contents were edible. But Hicks was not sure. He had bought them from the wizened little French clerk who had regarded him with suspicion through the window of the canteen. For this suspicion, this slight hostility, Hicks did not blame the little Frenchman. He had, he realized, made an ass of himself by pointing to ambiguously labeled cans piled on the shelves inside the canteen and saying, "Le Combien?" Now he possessed a choice array of cans of whose contents he knew nothing. All that he asked was that he might be able to eat it. That morning he had marched into the town with his tired platoon from a small deserted railway station some miles distant. Once assigned to the houses in which they were to be billeted, the men had unstrapped their blankets and fallen asleep. But not Hicks. He had explored the village with an eye to disposing of the mass of soiled and torn franc notes which he carried in his pocket. In the French canteen he had found the place for which he was looking, and so he had stood before the clerk, demanding to buy as much of the stock as he could carry. But the clerk had closed the window, leaving Hicks with a handful of French money and the tinned food and 4 bottles of vin blanc. Hence his disconsolation. The roll of paper felt unnatural, superfluous in his pocket. He was tempted to fling it away. In the morning the platoon would find the canteen and buy the last can, the last bottle. Restive, he ran his lean fingers through his uncombed hair, wondering vaguely whether it were true that his regiment was soon to depart for the front. It must be true, he decided. There had been an untoward attitude on the part of his officers since the moment that the departure of the platoon had been made known. Their destination had been scrupulously kept from them. In corroboration, a long-range gun boomed sullenly in the distance. The noise produced in him a not unpleasant shiver of apprehension. He met it, summoning a quiet smile of scorn. Yes, he would be glad to go to the front, to that vague place from which men returned with their mutilated bodies. Not that he was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?